Thank you so much, my brother. I just, before the sermon, going to add to the information our brother Plika has given you that today, at 3:30, there is, the Bible study has been canceled for 3:30 today. And tomorrow, Monday, there will be the memorial service for Judy Plika. It will be here in our church at 1:30 p.m. The burial will be in the morning, 11 privately for the family and the two pastors of the church. But the memorial service will be here, and we cannot believe yet, I cannot believe yet, that Judy is not here. I will miss the one who greeted me in Spanish when I finished the sermon. And she and I have few words in Spanish all the time after the sermon. But praise the Lord, we will bring God and the comfort of the scriptures to the family. As you know, I take the young people on Wednesday for a cup of coffee, peep coffee and cookies and things like that. And we are getting a good group of people together. And my heart is to just place a question and see what they say. And they tell me things that they will not tell me if you are present. So, and I will keep it in my heart. I will never reveal to you. But some of them have questions, and I got about 20 or 50 questions about theology. And the first question is, can God save your soul? And we talked about last Sunday about that. Then they tell me, can God keep you safe? Well, once you know God and you have trusted him, it is possible to remain this until the end of your life. And the question that I really like most is, can God use my life? Now, that's a good question for the young people. Can God use my life? So I address the question, can God save your soul? And today we're going to look together to the question, can God keep you safe? Let me draw your attention this morning to one text of the Bible. It's in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and in verse 12. The Apostle Paul makes a very bold statement concerning his salvation. Listen to the text again. It is a very clear, very powerful, and very simple put it, but it's very strong. It's very strong. Look at what he says. For this reason, he says, I also suffer these things. He's talking about the past life. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed, for I know, look at what he says, whom I have believed. And now he said, I am persuaded, I have a conviction that he, the one who saved him, is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. That day is the day of the coming of the Lord. So reading that text will give you a tremendous tranquility of heart and mind concerning the security, what we call in theology, the security of your salvation. I ask myself, is it possible for us to decide that we didn't want to be a Christian anymore and lose it in that way? Could be possible that somebody will call me and say, Pastor, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. And can that person lose that salvation? What I am asking is, can God really keep me saved regardless myself? Because, see, we are weak, don't we? We sin. We are not perfect. Can God keep me even though that happened in my Christian life? Can salvation be lost as the majority of the church and the world teaches? Or is salvation an eternal gift that can never be taken back? Once God gives it to you, that is yours. And regardless what you do, you're still in the hands of God. Can that be possible? Can that be the real thing? I believe the text that we read explained that clearly. So I want to take word by word on that text and deal with that in a way that you and I can reason together and see what God can tell us about the security of our salvation. There are two things that I want to show you. First, Paul's conversion. And then I want to see you Paul's confidence. Because, boy, look at what he says. He says that I'm persuaded, I'm convicted that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him. That's a strong statement. All right? Now, why did he say that? Where did he get that confidence in his heart that he say that? And remember, Paul was a master of the Old Testament scripture, so I will bring to your attention where he get the idea that he, in spite of ourselves, now don't get the idea that we can sin and live and so on. Yes, we can sin. I believe with all my heart we cannot lose our salvation, but we make our life miserable if we sin regardless and don't take in consideration God. So we have to be careful with that little line, draw the line in the area. So let's study together. Let's look first to Paul's conversion. Paul's conversion involves a person. If you look again in 2 Timothy 1:12, you see the word whom over there. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom. You see that? I know whom. When Paul was saved on the way to Damascus, remember, his conversion was the direct result of meeting a person. Who was that person? Was the chief of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem? Who was it? We don't have to worry. In Acts chapter 9, the scripture tells us. So if you move your Bible to Acts chapter 9, and we read verses 4 to 6, and you will see within that framework in Acts chapter 9, verse 4 to 6, how he commented, how he declared, how he explained to us that he met a person. So Paul's conversion involves a person. Look at what the scripture says, reading in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 4. Then he said, talking about his dramatic conversion, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? Amaze me. Then the Lord said, what did he say? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I'm glad that the scripture even tell the name of the person that was dealing with him. The scripture could say, I am God, but the scripture reveals a name. He said, I am Jesus, he said, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you, he said, Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what to do. Now, my purpose in reading that scripture is to show that Paul's conversion involved a person. Your conversion could be in the church, could be seated in a train, could be seated in a plane. I was flying for the radio often to New York. And one time I sit down, I open my Hebrew computer and I start typing and typing and typing, and a man looked at. So I fold the computer down. And I said, what do you want to know? And he said, I'm Mohammed, I forgot the last name. It was a Hebrew scholar from the University of Ohio. I'm surprised, he said, are you from some Arabian country? Because of my nose? I said, no. He said, no, my mama was Italian, my father was Spanish. So I'm surprised that you like Hebrew. I said, no, not only that, you have to be surprised that I like Jesus. And he started a conversation with him. And poor guy, the 6 hours fly, I keep talking to him, you know? And he gave to Family Radio the library of the School of Ohio in Hebrew. I don't know if he got saved or not, but he was passionate to know why. Why? Knowing the Hebrew language, God uses anything, but always involves a person. You cannot be saved by being baptized in this church, but being baptized by this wholesome pastor. No, you cannot be saved like that. You have to be saved by meeting Jesus. See that? That's what the scripture said. All right. So Paul's conversion involves a person, involves a plan. Look at it in verse. And first, 2 Timothy now, chapter 1, verse 12. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 1 involves a plan. For this reason, I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom, what? I have believed. You see that? It involves a plan. I have believed. Salvation can only be yours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot say, I'm a Christian because, like somebody told me in an elevator, I like to talk to people. And so we take an elevator in New York. We go to the 17th floor. So I say, is anybody saved here? And they look to you like, woo-hoo, we got a cuckoo, you know. Even the president of the radio was with me one time, and he looked to the other side, you know. The people were afraid. And, you have to be an evangelist and they look on it, and one guy out of the crowd was, we were all packed in the, he pulled his cord and said, yes sir, I'm saved. He said, here is a letter from the Pope, he signed it for me, I pay a lot of money for this. He said, I'm saved. And he folded the letter and he left on the fourth floor, and I said, sir, will you go with me to the 17th? I tell you, you're wrong, you know. And he just left. See, salvation, look at here what Paul said. It's very simple. I know whom I have believed. Salvation cannot be found on a certificate of baptism, even if a Pope signed the certificate of baptism. Even if I signed the certificate of baptism, cannot be done. I have believed. You need to develop faith, all right? And then you have the right to say, where do I got faith? Well, look in Romans in chapter 10 and in verse 17 what the scripture says. It's very important. You don't have to panic. You don't have to be in a scholar. You don't need a college degree to have faith. What you need is a Bible. What you need is a Bible. Look at here. In Romans 10 and in verse 17. So faith, said the scripture, so faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. There is no substitute for this book. You can read a nice Christian book, and that's good to read. You can read a commentator about in a scripture, and that is good to do so. That is very proper. But I tell you the truth. Faith cometh as you read, and you read, and you read the scripture. If you ever have time, get up at 4:30 like I do, and until 5:30 I read the Bible. I just read it for my information. And I read difficult books like Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. I'm in chapter 19 of 1 Kings because I read a chapter 4 or 5 times. I'm not too smart, so I had to read it 4 or 5 times. And I was telling my wife, boy, if I was a woman in the Old Testament, I'd be scared to death. How misused was women? This king want to have that women, that they arrange it, they get the women. It's just amazing. And it puzzled me. The blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, they said if a man looked to a woman with desire to have it, he commit adultery already. How blessed the women had to say thank you to Jesus. They have put everything together in place. In the Old Testament, there was, I tell them, I was disgusted. It's just women mean nothing to the people. So faith has to come by reading this book. There is no any escape. There is no any other solution. So Paul's conversion involves a person, involves a plan. You need to read the Bible, and you need to believe it, or you need to hear the Bible. If you have an iPad, you can read it, you can listen, you can have a tape in your a car. In my BMW, I can push and program and comes into the car. It's just amazing how blessed we are today that we have a Bible available to all of us. And there is no shortcuts. You need to read the Bible. Paul's conversion involves a person. Jesus Christ involves a plan. You read the Bible and involves a permanency. Look at it in verse again. And 2 Timothy 1:12 said, I also suffered the thing. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Past tense. It's not that he has to believe every day. You know, they are a denomination that holds the fact that almost every Sunday, because you sin during the week, every Sunday you have to come forward to be saved. That's called the Nazarene denomination. And I'm not afraid to say it, because that's what they will teach you. You cannot hold your salvation. You have to be saved. And here's past tense. I have believed. That means done. All right? It's finished. In the original, that verb believe is in the perfect tense. And those who study Greek knows that when you have a verb in the perfect tense in the past, this means that it is an action that has been completed in the past once and for all, no need to be repeated after. That's the potential of that verb in the grammar of the original language which was written. I have believed. That's it. There is no more business whatsoever. So here is the beauty. Paul's conversion. All right? I to understand that I have a security of my salvation, I need to understand how this man was saved. He was saved by a person. Not by the church. Not by a group of people. Not by a council. Not by one religious authority. He was involved directly with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can get involved directly with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. How? Well, Hebrews 10:7 said, in the volume of the book, it is spoken of me. See, this volume involves the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here on Wednesday night, Pastor Greg leads our meeting. And after the Bible reading, we are reading the book of Psalms. The pastor comes here and he said, well, let's see how these two or three Psalms that we read speak about Jesus. And so he mentioned some scriptures, and the people here in the pew mention others, how the Psalm reflects the Lord Jesus. And I guarantee to you, the Bible is an open book about the Lord Jesus. If you have not met the Lord Jesus, you are not saved. You're a religious person, but no saved. You can be a Roman Catholic, you can be a Baptist, you can be a Presbyterian. Somebody told me this. I'm a Presbyterian, and my grandfather was a believer, my mother's a believer, and I'm a believer. Why? Have you believed in Jesus? No, they believe. No, nobody believed for you. You have to believe personally. Wow, I'm getting too excited, but I'm trying to make it simple. I'm trying to make it simple so that you understand that you need to meet Jesus, all right? And then when you meet that person, you need to have a plan. Salvation is all by faith. And the Bible produced that faith. You don't have to worry. Where am I going to get faith? I don't know. But the Bible produces faith. You cannot go to CVS and buy a bottle of faith. You cannot do that. Only God can do it. And he doesn't sell it. He gives it freely to all of us. We're thankful that God is excited. I'm getting well, and I'm getting too excited. All right. And involve a permanent condition. You maybe lose the church membership, or you maybe don't want to be any longer a member of this church. That's what makes you an unbeliever. That means you leave the church. But you cannot leave God when you have Jesus. You try, and God will wrap you up and give you trials after trials and shake you up until you say, God, are you there? He said, yeah, I'm here. I read it, and you read 1 Kings, and you be scared. One king obey God, and go, the next four or five kings, they disagree. They fight with everybody until God pressed them. And then comes a little king and said, Lord, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. Oh, the whole thing. Sometimes we disobey God so badly that we need to hurt ourselves in order to come back to God. Hopefully it doesn't happen to us. All right. The post-conversion. Very simple. Remember, a person an action, faith, and the security. Now I'm in his hand. Now let's talk about Paul's confidence, because this guy, this statement is very, very bold, no? I'm really great. Okay. It was a personal experience. Look at here again in 2 Timothy 1:12. It said, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now, here is the personal experience. For I know. If I'm in McDonald's and I ask the Spanish people in McDonald's, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, my grandmother went to church. My mother went to church. But I'm not asking you if your family went to church. I'm asking you, are you a Christian? He said, well, I tell you what my family did. Well, you know, and what they said, he said, the Bible said, I know. That requires a personal experience. If you and I say we are Christians, we need to know what we have done to be a Christian. And the only thing we have done is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, by God's grace and by his mercy, he touched you and he said, today is your day. And whatever happened, you met somebody who witnessed to you. You took a train or a plane and had a crazy guy like me telling you about Jesus and so on. And something happened, but you need to have an experience. You need to have a contact. You need to have a day where you and Jesus were one. And you cry and you say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm so ignorant. I didn't know about you, but you knew about me. How grateful I am. How grateful I am that I am your child. The Presbyterian Church baptized babies. The Methodist Church baptized babies. And the Roman Catholic Church baptized babies. I keep saying to the priest, I said, when you baptize a baby, do you ask the baby if he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior? He said, yes, I do. And what the baby said, yeah! He said, no, no. He said, the Godfather will answer for him. I'm very sorry. When you are in heaven, God said, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, my Godfather believe, and he answered for me. No, you have to answer yourself. It's personal. It's dramatic. It's you and God. And you need to know. And Paul, to cover himself from the tradition of the Hebrew faith, because in the Hebrew faith is by the authority of the grandpa, this and the other, and they go through, it's called the covenant belief. We're not in a covenant belief, we are in a personal belief. We need to believe now, personally, you and God. There is no option. And Paul said, I know. How many of us can say, yes, I know. I believe in the Lord Jesus. I go to this church. It doesn't matter what church you go. I'm not criticizing any church. But I want you to be sure that you know that you and Jesus have a coffee one day with the donor or something and talk about it. Paul's confidence was personal. It was based also on the power of God. If you look at the text again, he said, for this reason, and 2 Timothy 1:12, I also suffer these things, he said. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And now comes the confidence. He said, and I am persuaded that he is able. I like that. He did not say, oh, I am persuaded that I'm able to keep myself in the kingdom of God. No. How sweet, he said, I'm persuaded that he is able. This word simply means that God has this power to do a thing. He is able. He is able. Paul is telling us that his salvation, as well as our salvation, is based in the power of God. Now, there is a scripture to reinforce this. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you look on it, in 1 Peter chapter 1, excuse me, in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. The scripture is very simple and it's very powerful. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter said, talking about the believers, he said, who are kept by the power of God. And the scripture is so good. Say, how? The Bible tells you here. Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed, said the scripture, and at that time. So we are saved not by our intelligent and beautiful mind that all of us have. We all have a very bright mind. Not, we are not. When you go to Chinese medication or whatever, one of the things the doctor will say to you, and I have a good, you know, with me it's about 2 hours because I talk 1 hour and then they do their, for 1 hour, the clinic. But they want to put you things in there in your brain, and they say, you know, you have a mind which is powerful. Oh, yes, I know. So I'm very intelligent. And so they don't feel good, you know, and they talk to you and they look at you. And they said that, well, your mind can do a lot of things. Oh, yeah, I believe it in Jesus. I'm talking in a Chinese Buddha center. You want me to read the Bible? No. Do you have the Bible? I have the Bible with me right here and right there. I tell you, it's just amazing. The power of God. We are saved. First Peter 1, 5. We are kept. We are kept. Not just say kept. Kept in the hands of God by the power of God. See, when you became saved, the rest of your life, you are not depending on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness will help you to have a wholesome life, but you're not depending your salvation on your faithfulness. You are depending on His faithfulness. He chose me, and many times I say, why, God, you choose me? I have no answer except His love. And the Bible is so clear. The confidence of Paul is, I have a personal experience. I know. I have come one day to the brink of saying, oh, what is it? I know. And then the joy that I have is that my salvation and my security and my destination to heaven is not depending on my faithfulness. It's depending on His faithfulness. Amazing. And then it is based on the promises of God. Look at it again in 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I committed to Him until that day. That I am persuaded, said Paul. That's confidence. That is not a blind jump in the dark, but it is confidence based squarely upon the precious promises of God. That's it. It is. He said, I have read the scripture. That's what I told you. Read the Bible, and you see God's promises. And then one of His promises, if you trust your life in Him, He keeps you. And I'm going to show you in a minute. And then if you base your salvation on the person of Christ and on the promises of God, young people, you never lose it. You are in the hands of God. We people in the church, we write covenants and we write articles of faith and we write, you know, each denomination has their own set of doctrines. It's just for our instructions, just for our conduct. I bought the Catholic statement of faith, and I read it. Some of them are tremendously gorgeous and marvelous, based on Christ. Some of them are based on the church doctrine. But this book is the best covenant book that you can have. All right? And so Paul was based his confidence in the promises of God. All right? For example, you know the text in Ephesians. Let's look on it. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's take a look in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. I'm reading this strictly from the King James because it's a more secure text than this, all right? Here is what it is. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved. Grace means that was given to you without you requesting anything, all right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. You got it? Is that clear? And now look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Wow. Grace is not something that I did. Grace is something that I received without me even imagining or thinking of. I asked one time one man, I said, do you remember the day you were saved? Yeah, he said, I never thought about it. They said, and I was traveling and so on, and somebody talked to him and left him a Bible. I read it, and that day I knew. He has a background on Christianity, but he never trusted the Lord. And the Lord used one man and so on. You have read about many people who visited jails and left New Testaments and so on. Christine and I worked for 20 years together in the radio. And we have easy more than 25,000 people in the jail studying with us. And many of them will write back and do that. I never forgot the man in New York in the security jail, big giant fellow. I went to visit with him. And I asked permission to this jail, and I asked permission to the attorney general and so on, and is this dangerous? Dangerous? I said, you don't know this man. He said, well, he killed this, and he's in a security box in the arcade of New York. So he's one of my students. He said, tell me about it. I told the attorney general, you know what happened? He corrected my Greek book. I wrote 9 books in the Greek language to study Greek. And he corrected one of my books. Well, he has 24 hours in a jail with a little window. And the people were so nice to give him paper and books and so on. And he read my workbook and said, oh, this guy has the tense wrong here. And he will write back to me. So your tense here is in the past and this. And he will write beautiful. I said, I want to hack him. Oh, no, you don't want to touch that man. I never had it. I said, but please, no. They saw the man had changed day in life. They have it in a jail that he cannot get out. Now, because of his behavior, they opened the door for him. And they sent a nice letter to Family Radio saying, thank you for your work. We didn't work. We just sent books. Christina can tell you. We just sent workbooks and we sell tests. And the man was excellent, fantastic. See, it's by grace. God is getting this guy in the arcade of New York and the whole staff on the police and the general attorney cannot let me go. We can't believe what happened. He maybe is playing around, they said. They were suspicious. This guy is a skill. He's for life over there and so on. Amazing, but God reaches everywhere, even in a jail that is secure. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. The confidence of Paul's salvation was there was a personal experience and that was based on the power of God, but also was based on the promises of God. And you saw one of them is by grace. The second one, salvation in Christ is a gift that never can be revoked. Now, let's look at it. John Gospel. Let's go to John Gospel chapter 10. All right? And go with me to verse 28 and 29. John Gospel, chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. And look at what the scripture really says. The Savior is speaking. Jesus, our Lord. Each time I see the words of Jesus, I don't like it in red in the Bible because the words of Jesus are the Word of God. If the Bible is going to have red words, they should have the words of God in red and the words of Jesus in red. I don't like it in red, but it's Jesus is speaking. And look at what he said in verse 28. He's talking. And I gave them, said Jesus, eternal life. And what? And they shall never perish. Woo! It's not that great. I mean, you never thought about it. You believe, doesn't matter what you do. Now, your life will be very miserable and very in agony if you sin. That's a different story. We're talking about salvation. The Bible says here, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands, said the Lord. Even if you go wrong, I saw Christians that went wrong and got the wrong theology. Our radio, I'm sorry, went into the wrong path. And a lot of good Christians took the wrong path. That's all right. They are Christians. And I fought this with pastors and theologians. They are Christians. They're wrong and they believe, but they're Christians. The Bible said. All right? And look at verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I was worried about that. Because I say, why twice the Bible said, Jesus, we are in Jesus' hand and then in his Father's hand. For a 3 days delay at the cross of Calvary, Jesus died. And people think the world then was in control of humanity. The Father took over. And covered with his presence those who were believers. You are in Jesus' hand, but suddenly Jesus died. And it's 3 days on the tomb. So the Father take over. And he said, those who Jesus saved are in my hands, and I keep it. What a security. What a joy to be a Christian. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we work and we get injured. And sometimes we get injured because we don't behave right or because something happened and so on. But when you compare all the things that happen in this life with the salvation of God and the promises of God and the security of God, man, I'm happy. I'm happy all the way. I'm happy all the way. So I want to tell you, the truth about the security of salvation in a nutshell is in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, verses 38 and 39. That's where the truth of salvation really comes from. That's where, in a nutshell, the Apostle Paul tells us. So, young people, rejoice that your salvation is on the Lord. Yes, sometimes we neglect to follow the Lord completely. Sometimes we blew it. Sometimes we, you know, when you play professionally a sport, you have instruction from the coach. And the coach expected that you have no ideas of your own and you do what the coach said. But many times I did what I said and I failed. He said, well, we'll try again. And look at what happened. Are you in Romans? Look at chapter 8 and verse 38. This is the great expression of salvation. The truth about the security of our salvation. Paul said, I am convicted that nothing can separate us from God's love. You got it? From God's love. Neither death, no life, neither angels, no demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. No, even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have read a different version for you to let you know in plain language that if you have trusted the Lord Jesus, if you have met Jesus like Paul did, you are saved. It doesn't matter. You may be a Catholic, you may be a Presbyterian, you may be whatever you may be. Doesn't matter. The Bible is not talking about denomination. The Bible is talking about that encounter, that personal encounter with Jesus. And if you have trusted him, you are one of his and you are secure in his hand. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. When I got my first bike, I was 20. My dad had no money. Two bikes. We were two brothers. So when it was the time to buy a bike, I was the oldest one. So he said, I want to buy a bike. And I want to buy a bike for you. You are the oldest one. I said, no, buy it for my brother. Thank God he gave me a soft car. Buy it from my brother. And he drove the bike. At 20, my uncle said, I'm going to buy a bike for you. And he bought a Legnano wood rim race car, race bike. I was so grateful. They have a tender heart. And I tell you something. There is something that is more valuable than anything else. Your personal relationship with Jesus will enable you to face dramas in your life, will enable you to face the agony of circumstances. But you trust in Jesus, you will do what is right because you love him and you are above the circumstances. I want to tell you this. I'm so happy to be a Christian. I hope you are too. Let's pray. Father, the young people of our church are good thinkers, and they put me to the test. But Father, as we go into your word, we find the answers to our life drama. And the answer is that yes, once you give us a word, that word stays on us. I'm so happy I'm saved by the power of God. I'm so happy many, many people here, many on the airways of radio, many on the airways of the internet, and many of those people who listen to our CD are saved because God, our Father, has sent Jesus into their life. Thank you for our security. In Jesus' name, amen.